My name is Bonnie Landry. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast with my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, where we explore the questions about homeschooling and family life and how we can make joy normal.
Good afternoon to all my lovely listeners. I am interviewing a dear, sweet lady who I have connected with a long time ago, almost 2 years ago. Her name is Kelly, Kelly of Simple Home Mom on Instagram. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me again.
I'm so glad you're here again. It's wonderful. So Kelly is a mother of four children, a homeschooling mom, three boys and one toddler girl. We may need an update. I pulled that off your website. She lives on the east coast of Canada, so the opposite coast to me. So we are 4 hours apart here, so we're making this work. We connected early on, and you were one of my first interviews, my first three or four interviews that I did, and I was quite nervous those first few interviews. Now I actually love it. I love interviewing people. But I was hoping maybe you could tell us a little bit more, first of all, about your family, and then we'll kind of get into what you do, because I know my listeners are going to love you.
Okay, sure. So my family, my youngest is now three, so I guess she could be considered a preschooler. So not too far off. And my oldest is 11 and a half now. So So that's our makeup of our family. Our family is very busy. We have the three boys and they're very, you know, in the dirt, and you can see, but your listeners can't see, there's tinkering in the background here. Very lively home. We've been homeschooling since the get-go, since I had my second baby. I've been home full-time. I used to be a teacher. I taught at like a little private Catholic school. And then I had, I don't know if you knew that, but I've been home since my second. And then I took a couple years from my maternity leave just to like really pray about like what, you know, where to go with our schooling. And I've been homeschooling since from the very beginning for my oldest and the other kids. And it goes by fast.
It goes by so well. You're almost entering the teen years, right? You're starting to think about that.
Almost.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You know, we had our three boys in a row, right? We had three girls and then three boys. And yeah, I thought girls were busy until I had three boys in a row. And then it was like, okay, this is busy.
Yeah, it's a different kind of busy.
It's louder.
Very physical. It's very loud. This is why I'm a big advocate of quiet time.
Yes, it's awesome. So I want to tell my audience sort of what, you know, what we love about you. First of all, your Instagram is just absolutely spectacular. You share all kinds of just really quick tips on Instagram about how to make life simpler. But what your byline says is, I teach overwhelmed stay-at-home moms simple home management skills. And I will tell you this, home management, if you had been in my life 30 years ago, I would have been so excited, because I didn't grow up, I was raised by pack rats. You know, we didn't have, our life didn't run smoothly, right? That was just not part of the program. Everything was sort of chaotic. I never really learned how to keep a home. My parents were wonderful people, but, you know, we lived in chaos most of the time. We regularly, you know, ran out of toilet paper and stuff like that. It's like, so this just to me is like, really? Don't do that to your family. It took me a long, hard 4 or 5 years of really going from sort of resource to resource, I didn't have internet at that time. What I was trying to sort of learn home management skills. What I thought I was trying to learn was how to clean my house, right? And then as I sort of delved into it more, what I really realized was how to stay on top of the clutter, how to avoid chaos, how to avoid having so much stuff. That was really what I was looking for, but I didn't know it. And it took years for me to do that. And here you have it all sort of presented in this very tidy and beautiful package. So I'd like you to sort of talk to my people about what you do, because you actually do several things. So can you kind of give us the big picture of what you do? And then my people can kind of know that.
Okay, so you kind of gave a really good overview of what I do. But the past 3 to 4 years, I've been sharing pretty consistently on social media just simple home management type tips, focusing more on, you know, planning and routines and chores, and how to like just move along the home so that, you know, things get done, but we don't feel like we have to keep up with everything at all times. That's the biggest thing for me. And what I teach moms is that when I came into this, like you said, Bonnie, the same for me. I wasn't taught like how to manage a home. It took me a moment of like really burning out and in tears and being like, I can't do this anymore. Like I was just completely overwhelmed, and I started reading and researching, but it really just started from there. And I just learned how to, you know, implement routines one at a time, like figuring out the laundry, and then figuring out how to like make a plan for the day, even for myself, of like, goodness, I haven't had a shower in, you know, however many days, maybe I should write that down. And
it's brush your teeth. Yeah.
You know?
It's important. Yeah.
No, it was things like that I just would wake up. Yeah, I would just wake up and roll out of bed and just not have a plan. I would just let the day happen to me instead of, you know, being intentional with the day. So yeah, it was through that burning out moment of my life that I just was just in tears, and things kind of changed for me from then on, you know, learning I had to declutter and get the routines in place. And then I just kept learning and learning and learning over time. I used to be obsessed with like organizing and stuff as I was a kid and like growing up, but it wasn't anything beyond that. It was like, I like things neat and tidy. I like to organize, but it wasn't like how to manage a home, how to do all these things. So my, I guess my mission on Instagram or a social media website, whatever, what have you, is that I would like to talk to that mom that I was in that moment of like, here's what you can do. Okay. Here is your next little step. And I know you're a big advocate too of that too. Yeah. And I'm always preaching to myself too when I share these tips. I'm just like, I'm getting back into routines this week after vacation, and I'm reminding myself it's going to take us some time to get back into routines for myself personally, like exercise or whatever, and homeschooling slowly back in. And it takes us time to get there. Everything takes time, and to be patient with ourselves and surround ourselves with people who lift us up and encourage us, even in things like doing the dishes, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I think two things. One is that I think that people who've been there really make the best teachers, because we understand what it was like. You know, my friend who's just super hyper organized, she doesn't even understand people who aren't organized. You know, she doesn't even understand the transition that I had to go through, and the sort of painful walk that it was. You know, even though that's a real gift of hers, it's difficult to share with other people what it's like to kind of get back on track, sort of thing. We can become good cheerleaders by the very fact that we've been there ourselves, right? And that becomes really important to people. I think that one of the things that I love about your Instagram in particular is that you can, you know, you share things frequently about, okay, how one simple thing you can do too. Right. And I would really encourage moms, I'm sure you do too, I would really encourage moms to just actually do that. Instead of reading through every Instagram post you've done, just look at the one that really speaks to your heart, right? You know, one simple way that you can, or three top tips you can do, you know, they're not, it's just so beautifully done. These are three very simple things that can help you make your day go more smoothly, right? And that's such an amazing place to start, because that's what we really need, is we have to sort of learn how this is all going to roll out instead of just be feeling overwhelmed by it all the time. So that's what I would encourage of moms. So would you say, like you actually do personal coaching as well as what you...
I actually have never done one-on-one coaching for moms. I mean, I'm open to it. Like, I'm open to it as in if that's where I'm led to. Right. But as of right now, I've never done that. It's just more, really, the coaching is in my messaging, because I'm talking to lots of moms all the time in my messages or comments. I've connected with so many people, and I just love, you know, I have a heart for encouraging moms in home management. But yeah, no, I've never done that. I blog. So I blog here and there. So my work is on Instagram, and I love like graphic design and creating things. And I'm a big planner. So my giftedness was kind of leading me to, you know, start creating more resources like planners. And I love writing. So I do like the guides, like the simple home or the simple meal planning guide in that kind of area. But I will never say no to any area, because I never know where, you know, I will be led. So I'm open to it.
Don't you find too that you sort of do this, you're kind of giving yourself a pep talk whenever you do this? I mean, that's what, for me, speaking and blogging and all the things that I did before I started podcasting, they keep me on the straight and narrow. That was really, you know, my primary goal is to remind myself every single day why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it doesn't always come easy. And on those hard days when I know that, okay, this is why I'm doing this and why I'm sharing this with other people and they're benefiting from it, that helps me. Ultimately, that helps me be the person that I want to be.
Yeah.
A funny little story from this morning. So we had this planned. We planned this last week sometime that I was going to interview again. And then my daughter, I called my daughter this morning and I was sort of chit-chatting with her. She's just started her homeschooling journey. And she said, oh, by the way, I heard from Kelly, a Simple Home Mom, and I'm going to be buying one of her planners because it looks like a really, really good fit for me. I said, do you know I'm interviewing her tonight? And she said, no, I didn't know that. And I said, oh, well, I am. And you know what? We're going to talk about planners because you just told me that.
Yeah, good timing.
Exactly. So that was because I sort of didn't really have a particular plan to what we were going to talk about. I just thought, you know, you have lots of valuable resources and valuable insights. So that would be a great place to start. But I think maybe we should talk about planning in general, what that looks like, and then specifically your planners, because you have more than one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yeah, they're all kind of based on the same idea. Concept and stuff. They just maybe one is smaller, one is bigger kind of thing.
Okay, no, that's good. So why don't you tell us about sort of what's your process for planning?
So my process for planning, I would say it started along during that burnout moment. That's when I started learning how to plan. And I had a really good friend at the time who suggested bullet journaling. So I'm a researcher. So I was like, okay, I'll start reading about that. And I started reading about the method. I'm kind of giving the backstory because the way I plan today is really like formed by the method. Yeah. And my method for planning before that was, you know, slips of sticky notes that my son would like eat or something, like all over the house.
Hey, I was there. I told you.
Yeah, so that was my strategy then, was like these giant to-do lists I would leave and lose everywhere. And I like would write like massive to-do lists, massive, like a whole page. And I would just wake up and look at it and I would just get overwhelmed. I'm like, I felt like I had to do it all though at the same time. So I look at this and I'm like, I'm never going to get caught up. Like, I'm never going to do this. So learning about bullet journaling just, if you're not familiar with bullet journaling, if you're listening right now, it's just a method that a man, I can't remember his name, I think his name is Ryder, he came up with this method. I think he has ADHD, but he came up with this method to help people to like plan their days, plan their lives in a very simple way using like bullets and like little symbols and stuff. A very minimal type, and I'm very into minimal aesthetic and stuff, minimal planning. And he has like books out and stuff. Like you wouldn't think like there would be books about like planning, but it was, it's very fascinating, the method. And I've watched like YouTubes on how it can help people with like ADHD and people with different brains. And I understand that we have that in our family kind of thing, but yeah, I learned about that. And I learned about how to plan my day with the being reasonable and writing things down. And then if I didn't get them done, bump them to the next day. And very quickly, probably within, I don't know, 6 months, I realized I was putting way too much down in my day because I was constantly moving it forward. That's a part of that method of learning to like put things. So what happens is you naturally be like, oh, I have way too many high expectations. Yeah. This is crazy on myself. No wonder I could never get this done, because I was, you know, thinking I could get way too much done. I'm a time optimist. I use that term. I'm very like optimistic about the time. So that's not a bad thing. But when it starts to like take over and you feel like your worth is tied to how much you're getting done, that's when we really need to like reassess things.
The productivity problem.
Yeah, the productivity problem of the world. Yeah. So from really, that was like stemmed my journey to right now. Like I still, everything that I do in my planners, it's based on, years, I guess, I did that method. And then I just eventually came into like a nice rhythm of my own method that worked really well for me, that kind of encompassed some of those things that I learned from bullet journaling. The daily planning, I do a weekly planning session where I sit down and look at the coming week, look at the last week and see if there's any adjustments to be made in like my work time schedule or routines of the home or homeschooling. I just really put that time aside at the end of the week. And meal planning, that's another big one. Oh my goodness, hangry people if I don't have meal planning done here still. Yeah, and I do like monthly planning too. I make sure I have like appointments written out and I have like repeating events. It's all done by paper and pen. I also do like digital notes and stuff, especially for work because I work online. But I'm very much an advocate of paper and pen because when we write things down, they are committed to our memory much, much better. So for people who have difficulty remembering things, paper and pen is where it's at.
I am very, very big advocate of paper and pen. I've never been able, I do keep some notes electronically, but it's just, I don't know, I just feel so much more, like it's so much more real. It's like e-transfer as opposed to cash. I don't know.
Yeah. And when we write things over and over too, especially like those things that are tasks for the day and we write it down the next day and the next day, like we don't forget it. Like we remember it. And then we're like, you know what? We need to move that task to the future because that is not a priority right now.
I was just going to say that. When you've bumped something forward for like 10 days in a row, because I use a similar idea, then you suddenly think, okay, this, I don't actually care about this that much, right? And so, you know, maybe it has to go on my important but not urgent list kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. I know you've shared about that before. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, the tyranny of the urgent. Yeah, I love that concept. You know, and so that's sometimes that's just the idea of bumping things to the next day sometimes helps us to sift through, okay, what actually matters to me? Because this thing isn't mattering to me right now, you know? And sometimes, I mean, honestly, sometimes that's okay, my fitness routine. I keep bumping it forward. I'm not doing it for 10 days in a row. So maybe I need to either alter it, right? Or consider what, you know, how to make it work better in my life or how to make it more important in my life or whatever, right? You know, but you can't just keep bumping it for the next 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it is really something that you want and know that your whole person needs, such as like a prayer routine or something that you're trying to instill that you're like, I really need to do that. So it's like that visual reminder. And then you get kind of get sick of it. Okay, I better start doing that. I guess that's a bit about my journey with planning. And now it's just like a streamlined process that I don't really think about it much. I share it often in my stories. I feel like that's helpful to people because they don't know where to start with planning. Now I'm just like, I always feel like, should I share this? Like, this seems so, you know, simple, but no, I have to think of where I was and that other people need to see that because they need to learn.
Well, I'll tell you something, Kelly. It's often when I've been podcasting or blogging or whatever, the things that I will hear back from people is some just random little detail of my life that somebody will say that made such a difference. Like, you know, I always kept a basket full of spill towels. You know, you have spills all the time with little kids, right? So I kept a basket of sort of junky towels and I just kept them in my laundry room and they were the spill towels. Everybody knew where they were. If there was a spill, we'll grab a spill towel. And I've had that a couple of times. Somebody come back to me and I just mention it in passing and somebody says, that's such a good idea. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you just never know, right?
Share everything. I know.
Yeah.
Share everything. So you said a couple of things that I think are really beautiful. First of all, the identifying of what actually matters to us, right? Or getting sick of seeing the same thing that we want to change in our life over and over again. But the word rhythm really resonates with me, is that would for me, life changed when I started to be able to really look at my day in terms of a rhythm of the day. It's not a timetable. It's not a schedule. It's a beautiful rhythm. And that is a very appealing word. It's an adaptable word. Right? Because sometimes the rhythm is slower. Sometimes the rhythm is faster. And, you know, the fact is you're trying to sort of get a certain amount of things done in a certain way. And I think joy is easier to insert into a rhythm than it is to insert into a schedule. because a schedule is kind of we're beholden to it, right? Where a rhythm is something that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just flows so much nicer.
It really does.
I find
it changes your attitude when we talk like that, when we use those kinds of words. If we can talk a little bit, well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about sort of your planning for homeschooling. Most of us sort of look at that and we think, okay, well, how do I decide what I'm doing next year? When we think about our homeschool planning, that's really what we're talking about. Could you sort of share a little bit of your process for what that looks like for you?
So we school all year round, but very slowly. Like, I'm simple home mom, as in I don't like to complicate, you know, I don't like to have like really elaborate stuff, and because it also works for a family. So we do it all year round because we need that consistency. We take weeks off here and there. Like, we just had vacation. Summers are always slower with our routine for school and stuff, you know, because we're outside way more. But I kind of plan. I know some people, you know, plan. And I used to plan in the summer for the whole year. But now I'm just mostly planning pretty much every 6 weeks. I kind of make adjustments in our routines. Adjustments in what we're learning, depending on what's going on, adjustments in what we're focusing on. So if I'm like, oh, my son needs more focus on writing right now, then I'll be like, okay, he's going to do math, you know, less, and we're going to focus on writing. So just giving space to really slow down and actually look at the whole picture, because my days are so noisy here. I don't have time to slow down and think about it during the day. So I really have to give that time, usually like 6 weeks on, 1 week off, not always, but whenever I have that week off, I kind of take the time to really look at everything. I do it weekly too. But those are more smaller adjustments, I find, you know, cause I don't have like a whole week to think about it, so much, but yeah, there's just so many things going on. We have four kids, but there's so many things going on all the time. So it's just, that's kind of how I do our homeschooling.
Okay, that's really good for parents to hear, I think, because I think many parents can get really stressed about planning out the year. For me, planning out the year, I was just way more a process of pondering, right? Really pondering. What is it we'd like to do? You know, what is it we'd like to do? Have a very skeleton plan. You know, I might choose a math book, I might choose what historical period we're studying or whatever. But ultimately, you know, I think I sort of innately work towards a similar process of what you're doing, that I was just sort of thinking about it as we went along, right? Okay, well, that was really, really fun. What would I like to do next with these guys? You know, or what are they naturally inclined to do, because we just read about such and such. Now they're really interested in that. So what are we going to do now? You know, and that's a lovely thing, where if you think you have to plan out the school year, that is going to be kind of a stressful, huge job, right? And, you know, we all have Amazon. We can all buy the books we need as we go along.
There are some things that I will know longer term. We do have like a guide of like what we're going to be studying and doing, but I do it at a slower pace. I adjust things and tweak things and put my focus in different areas. And I did listen to your podcast about how you did set up your year for homeschooling. So it is kind
Sounds
of similar.
Like
But we do like different kind of strategies, or your different schooling, but very similar, like mindset of like slowing down and like looking at what's going on with the kids instead of just like pushing through our written down plans, or, you know, a box curriculum that isn't working for our kids or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's just such a gift to be able to kind of let other things go so that you can focus on some things. Right. And I often did that, and I'm a real advocate of this sort of camp style learning, and we would often have other people over. So we would do sort of a co-op that might last for a week or something like that, where we get together and work on speech arts, or get together and work on writing. And I think there's a real advantage to that. And then, okay, done the writing. We've done 4 essays this week. You know, that's kind of our writing for the year. And if you don't get to, you usually do, but if you don't get to any more, you know, you sort of tick that box off, right? And I think it's just a really positive way of learning. Like, you just learn so much in a camp sort of situation.
Yeah, it's such a different, it's hard for us coming, like I was a teacher, I did teach in public. It's like that whole shift of like, it doesn't have to look like a public school. It's the learning is so, so different at home. Yeah. And I love how you did the focuses on different things. And this coming week, I just plan to focus on like a foraging unit with the kids. I meant to do it last year. I'm like, okay, we need to like push through that before the summer's over. And they love it too. Yeah. So I know it'll be enjoyable for them.
Yeah, exactly. So can you kind of tell us about your planners in particular? You have a couple of different planners. Now, you just started an Etsy shop, right?
Yeah, they were on my website but I have a really good friend who suggested Etsy because it will get to a wider audience and then everything's set up for me. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty stubborn. Like, I like to code my own websites and stuff like that because I like extra challenge on my brain, you know. I'm just making fun of myself here. Etsy has been great so far. So my planners that I've put up in there, I've just been transferring things over. The two biggest ones would be my simple planner, and then another one, a weekly planner, but it's half size. So there's a full size one that's like, you know, put in your binder, and then there's a half size foldable one, which is the one I usually use because I love that smaller size. I don't have one on me to show you, but if you see my stories, I shared it today.
Oh, okay. And you, what's your Etsy shop?
It's Simple Home Mom Shop.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's great. So kind of tell us about the planner. Like, how are they set up? How do they work? You know, what are people looking at?
So the weekly one, which I use now, I use it in combination with a foldable monthly one. Right now I have like 7 months in it. So I need those at the same time because when I do my weekly planning and like daily planning, I pull from there for appointments and stuff. So the weekly planner is 7 days of the week, one page for each. And in each page, it has your to-do list. It has, your meal plan spots. It has a note spot and something else that I'm forgetting. I'm missing one of the categories there and I write in it every day. That's hilarious. But it's got every day for all those, you know, simple, important spots, the notes and the meals and stuff. And then at the very beginning of it, though, is called like a weekly dashboard. And it has different categories for different areas of your life, such as hobbies, personal, home. It's just kind of like a check-in with yourself. And like spiritual and like 12 different boxes, I think. And I write in a note spot and your meal plan there for the whole week. So you can kind of like write it out and then tweak things as you go through the week, and as well as like a running to-do list for the week. So I call that the weekly dashboard. And then it's got the daily pages. And at the end, you also get like a page of notes.
So you get the dashboard at the beginning of each week.
Yeah. So you print it out, you fold it together. You've got your whole, it's 1 week at a time. So I print mine out every week during my weekly planning session. I've got a fresh one, and then I just refer to my last one and I recycle it. I don't keep it because I don't put any like journaling notes or anything. It's just my home management and work schedule and like tasks like that. And I'm like, I don't need to remember when I had to call the eye doctor or whatever. It's my method, and that's the weekly planner. And the full size one is set up pretty much the same way. It looks a little different in the weekly dashboard because it's a full page spread, but it's the same information, the same stuff, the same system. The monthly planner is just like a month and a facing page with notes and like to-do lists. So then you, on the facing page, you just, if you need more space, because some days we have like 10 million things in one day. So then you just reference it on the following page or like your to-do list there. And when I sit down at my weekly planning session, I will look at the coming week to see what's coming up. I also plan by day too. So I don't write every day in when I do my weekly planning session. I'll just kind of like, you know, the overview of the week, the weekly dashboard I'll do, but then I'll like the night before do the day, the next day, and I'll refer to the monthly calendar. Is there any appointments?
That's what I do. I still do that. Yeah. I don't have hardly anything going on.
Yeah. So,
but it's such a good thing to be able to just sit down for 5 minutes and actually look at what's going on and look at your calendar. I always have a massive calendar that I write, you know, my monthly stuff on. You know, just to be able to say, okay, what's going on tomorrow? What do I want to do? What do I have to do? Even at this stage of the game, I don't think I would feel like I was kind of on top of my life or had my finger on the pulse if I didn't spend 5 minutes every night just sort of going over the list, right? So in your planners, is there sort of a homeschool, like is your homeschooling things that you want to get done incorporated in this?
So I have a separate homeschool planner, my simple homeschool planner, and I use that one for homeschool planning. I keep it separate from my personal planner. My personal planner will have like our routines for the day, which includes like homeschooling, but not the detailed. It's just like morning routine, breakfast, prayer time, school time, you know, like the overview that.
Okay.
And the homeschool planner, it comes out during homeschool planning only. And that's like my kids, you know, our routine for the day, our things that we're going to get done. And my kids have their own like bullet journal style page that I print out and write up their stuff for the week in their own binders. So I kind of keep that separate. I used to have it all together, but I really found it was just too much information. And then I was just keeping homeschooling with homeschooling and then like the other little planner with me for the rest of the things, which is usually with me or close by to me versus the homeschooling I take out during homeschooling time. And then it's very focused on what we're doing in front of me instead of like, oh, I have to do that. I tour and meals and, you know, getting distracted by all those many things. Right.
Yeah. And we want to focus, right? We are, and you know this, I mean, we all know this when we experience this, is that when we are focused on one task at a time, we're actually infinitely more capable and productive than when we try and do five things at a time. You know, I know this from my early days of homeschooling, like trying to load the dishwasher while somebody's doing their math or trying, you know, if they require your one-on-one attention to try and do other things during that time is very counterproductive for both the child and you.
Your kids just run away. Right? Like if, as soon as I check my Instagram or anything, like they're gone. And I really have to be focused in our home because they're fast.
Plan on it. Okay, we're done our homeschooling, then we're going to check Instagram, or then we're going to do the housework or whatever, right? And I think it's important even to put in our recreation time, really, you know, our downtime as a mom, to sort of factor that in, right? So then the homeschool planner is a separate thing that you would have in addition to your personal planner. So what does it look like?
So that one is, again, set up similarly.
This is also on Etsy.
As in your...
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Etsy too, and it has a couple different layouts for the daily plan for your homeschool planner. There's like, I can't remember because I don't have it in front of me, and I haven't done our like big homeschool planning yet, so I haven't taken it out because we're in the summer right now. But I think it has three different layouts, you know, the block style planning days. You know, you can do like a two-page spread of that, or you can do it day by day. Right. I'm using like a weekly overview one right now that I made. It has, you know, the 5 days with like blocks and then just notes down below to where I put our loop planning. We loop plan a lot here.
So can you just describe what that is, loop planning, for those who don't know? Yeah.
Well, I actually originally heard it like years ago on, I think it was Sarah McKenzie's blog, like years back. And that term really stuck with me. It's basically, so in the homeschooling world, or I use it for chores, is you have a loop, and on that loop are different subjects. So for homeschooling, it could be like math, language arts, science, Shakespeare, whatever you want to put in that loop. And then a certain time of your homeschool day, whenever it is, maybe it's during the morning time, you want to do those 5 subjects, but you don't want to stress yourself out by trying to get them all done in one day, or, you know, Monday Shakespeare, Tuesday's math, and then, oh my gosh, we missed Tuesday. Well, using the loop, it doesn't really matter if you miss a day or whatnot. You just stop and start where you left off.
Right.
In the loop, you keep going. When you get to the end, you start back again. So that's loop planning. It's a really simple concept, but it's very challenging to learn if you've heard about it the first time. So. Well, but once you've got it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Loop planning. I have our loop planning at the bottom there. And some days, like even for our homeschooling, I write down what we've done at the end of the day instead of what I want to do. It depends on what the week is like, and it's a lot of like discernment goes into like homeschool planning, like day by day, week by week. And it's like, what do my children need this week? What do I need? Do we need like a really structured plan, or do we need something more loose? But having like something written down as a guide is so much better for our brains instead of, you know, starting the day and you've got kids screaming and you can't think, okay, forget school. Which I do some days here, I can sense, but.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's every hour or two that you're doing that, that, you know, you start off, maybe you come and, you know, just guns a blazing, right? Oh, this is a great day. Everybody's happy. I'm going to get X, Y, and Z done. And then something crashes and you have to reassess, and you can't just get all super bummed out. Like, oh, it's 11 o'clock and the rest of the day is just ruined. We can't think that way. You know, we have to just think, okay, what needs to happen now? You know, maybe we just need to go out for a walk. Maybe we just need to sit and read stories. Maybe spend the next hour comforting a child who's been traumatized in some way. And we have to just be okay with that, right?
Yeah. I find myself doing more and more lately is like looking at what we actually did in the plan, because I'll update it as we go. Like if I did plan it, I will, you know, cross off what we didn't get. And when I say it out loud or I look at it, I'm like, we actually did a lot today, even with the tantrums or even with whatever came up in the day. It's like, no, this is, you know, what our day kind of ended up being. And it was amazing. It wasn't exactly what I wrote down, but that's okay, because the plan is there as a guide. It's not there to be our boss. You know, we are the boss. We are in charge of.
We get to be in charge. I love that. Yes. You know, when kids say that, you're not the boss of me. We need to say that to our curriculum and our schedules and all of that. Yeah. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So if people can, so you're half planner.
Mm-hmm.
So that just week by week, something you don't put it in something that just week by week gets recycled.
It gets recycled. Okay. I put it in, like, I would love to have some kind of like folder that folded in half, like a laminated, but I have like literally like a folder that I cut out for that size, just to give it a little bit more protection, because my kids will often draw on it or drop water on it. So I just did that. The size of pretty much the size of an A5 journal or something, if the listeners are familiar with that. That's like a standard size of a journal, like a small journal that you can find anywhere pretty much. But I usually just have the paper sitting out, and it stays together. It's like a nice little notebook thing.
Okay. And then with the larger planner that goes into a binder, is it kind of the same thing? Like you could just recycle those pages. They aren't where you're record keeping.
That's right. Yeah. Unless like there's something in the homeschooling that you want to keep. Like there's ones that I keep forever, such as lesson planning for group planning, like future ideas, or, you know, I'll keep that in my binder for a long time. But for the daily week to week stuff, I don't keep that. But yeah, I might keep like the loop planning or something, because I don't want to rewrite that every week. So I might print out a page that allows me to reference that, or procedures for, you know, doing read alouds and narrations or something. I want to reference that. But for the most part, like the daily and weekly, monthly stuff, I just take out and recycle, which is very satisfying anyways. I love getting rid of recycles.
I know. I love that. I use those yellow tablets, you know, those small, they're also an A5 size, you know, to kind of write my random notes on. And then about usually every evening or two, I sit down and I tear up the ones that are, I don't need anymore, the grocery list or the, you know, today's to-do list or whatever. And I just tear it up and I put it in the recycling. And that's very satisfying. So I wanted to just, a few episodes ago, while I was doing sort of the Creating Homes segment for my podcast, I did a couple of episodes on record keeping. And I think if you don't mind sort of sharing what you do, because I think it's the corollary to planning, we then also have record keeping, and the two are, it's not the same thing. And so how do we record keep really simply? And that was also a very life-changing thing for me. But I think, you know, I'd like you to share your ideas, because I think the more ideas on doing this simply that we have in our back pocket, then we can choose, okay, what works for us, what doesn't work for us. So if you could share sort of what you do, that would be great.
So I'm very, very simple. with record keeping, actually our province for homeschooling registration and reporting at the end of the year. I actually really love it. We're in Nova Scotia. It's very, they're not like in BC, you get somebody assigned to you, I've heard, or something. But here it's just,
you can choose. It's one way or the other, but you have to choose.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, that's really different from here. So, so in the beginning of the year, we have to send in what we're going to be doing. And then at the end of the year, like I would, as a teacher, give a progress report, addressing like everything that I talked about in the beginning, you know, saying that what we're going to do. So I would just write, you know, we didn't get to this. We focused on this. This is the area that they are having struggle with that we need to focus on. So actually having those are a small record for me every year. So I refer to those, like my third is in grade one this year. Is he in grade one? He's I'm like, how old is he? He's in grade one or primary. I registered him, but I'm like, I think he's in, anyways, doesn't matter. I digress, but I will refer back to those, report cards and whatnot, so that I can see what I did with my other boys. And beyond that, I like, you know, my kids don't do like, they don't do like formal tests or anything like that. So I don't keep record of anything that, at least not yet. I don't know what junior high or high school is going to look like. Haven't hit there yet. And I haven't, you know, just figured that out. But something that I did start doing is recently is with my oldest, we kind of had like an quote unquote, not a real exam, but like I sat down and we kind of were talking about the kinds of things he was learning. So it was more like an oral, I did this in my classroom too, for kids that couldn't do writing, written things. They would just kind of orally tell me what they knew. And we kind of just sat down and he was just telling me, you know, like Bible stories, what he remembered or what he remembered about this time period he studied. Right. So it was just really interesting to see. It wasn't about right and wrong, just sitting down, having a conversation. So I did write up, there like his little answers for everything, and I would like to keep those going forward so then the kids can look back and I can look back. So that's what I'm doing. That's pretty much our record keeping for right now, and I'm gonna do that going forward. I did that with my 9-year-old too, the written, he was kind of having the conversation and whatnot, but we just started that, so I really loved it and I can see myself doing it going forward too.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that, because I think it's really important for our people to know. So can you tell people where they can find you on your various ways we can find you?
Sure. So the biggest place that I hang out, like Bonnie said, is on Instagram, Simple Home Mom. I also have a website, simplehomemom.com. That's going to house like everything that you're looking for. My blogs, I have a bunch of freebies. It's going to link to the shop. It links to like all the past podcasts I've been on. Anything like that, like if you're a big podcast listener, you're going to go there. If you like blogs, you're going to go there. And if you love Instagram, you're going to go to Instagram. So that's where you can find me, Simple Home Mom.
And you are the freebie queen. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you know, I think a person could exhaust everything you produce on Instagram and be so much further ahead for it, right?
Yeah, I've definitely had people messaging me like, where do I start? Like, just start at the top and like read. You can read through.
And on your website, you have that, right? You have sort of a start here segment, which is really handy, you know, because if the whole idea is like, oh, wow. Because sometimes we don't know what we need to know, you know what I mean? And so then suddenly we come across somebody who's, you know, providing the services you provide. And we think, oh, that would help me so much. But it takes somebody kind of bringing it to our attention, right? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining me. That's wonderful. I hope that those of my followers who don't follow you yet will start very soon, because you have so much to offer.
Thanks so much again, Bonnie.
Bye to all listeners, and God bless. Have a great day.